Wait, what does the third E stand for?
Extremely bad.
What, are you trying to make a joke?
Maybe. Expo.
That's really bad. Yes, Expo.
Why'd you ask me that?
Extremely bad.
I don't know. I thought you
You're wanted... really funny.
Well, I don't know what you're asking. I don't know what E3 stands for.
The 30s were extremely bad.
I hate you.
Extravaganza Exploding Barrel podcast, I guess.
Right. Woo!
E3!
You were like, what's it called? E3? Welcome to the E3!
I like how you're like trying to make fun of me for absolutely nothing now.
I don't know.
I'm in a very. Man, you're stupid.
I'm in a very hostile mood. Ooh. Right now.
Oh, you're so mad.
I am mad.
You're so mad about E3.
I'm enraged.
Weed music. What is this?
Spoilers.
Spoilers. I mean, people kind of know. You say spoilers, so.
I know, it's fun.
Yeah, all right, I'm not going to finish that sentence. Okay, we got the news. We're going to talk about all the big three E3 press conferences there. Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony, and other, you know, gaming-related news that came out this week. Then we got the great Canadian Mike Source Gaming Quiz.
Yep.
Six questions there. Fun stuff this week?
Of course.
Okay, sounds good. Then we're going to talk about the games we've been playing this week. Move on to the weekly game releases, starting with the downloadable game releases, then the normal game releases. Go into 4-1 of 4-1, the mail barrel, and that'll be the whole show.
Okay.
Well, then we go to the news.
Let's kick it off with Microsoft's E3 press conference.
So you're just going to go through these?
Yeah, there's too much to go through and type it all. I mean, we could just talk about it.
You want me to say something?
I don't know. Anyway.
It just seems like we're going to be doing it for a while.
That's okay. That's what people want.
Maybe.
I don't know. Actually, they don't, which I'll show you in a little bit. Anyway, so Microsoft started off with, you know, everyone starts off with the yay, we're doing so well sales data, so we won't talk about that. The first thing was Todd Howard of Bethesda came out, showed off some Fallout 3 goodness, and I'm still insanely excited for this game. How about you?
Wait, did they show any gameplay this time?
Uh-huh.
Is that the first time?
I believe so, yes.
How's it look?
I didn't awesome. See it. First or third person view, and third person works in this one like Oblivion. Well, so they say, and so they showed. We've heard of the vault system, or they're the VAC, or oh, shoot, I can't remember what it's called. It starts with a V. But the targeting system basically lets you pause the game and target a specific area of an opponent. It'll show you your percent chance of hitting with your stats. And what's really cool is after you do that, it pops into a kind of cinematic camera to show. Like your character firing, and then like one of the examples was a grenade launcher. The camera actually followed the grenade's trajectory through the air to the point where you could see it hit exactly where that guy had targeted.
Oh, you're trying to tell me about this before, but I wasn't paying attention to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really sweet. Like you saw one, like he shot a rocket at a guy's feet and blew his legs off and stuff. So I think this game's going to be absolutely phenomenal. I can't wait for it.
Maybe. I didn't like Oblivion, so I'm not going to get too excited.
After that, Capcom came out to show RE5 gameplay along with co-op, which is pretty exciting.
And that's coming March? Yeah, next March.
Yes. One of the cool things they show is like something where Chris like got like his back to like a kind of long jump. He put his hands down. I forget the girl's name, but she kind of went running toward him, hit a button, said like he vaulted her across the gap. So, like, a lot of co-op moves like that will be in the game.
I read, like, someone played through some of it, and they described a scene that sounded very much like the one part in Resident Evil 4 where you were stuck in that house with the one Spanish guy, and, like, the zombies were just going to come, and you had to survive for a while. It actually sounded, like, exactly like that.
That's cool.
The guy was like, oh, man, it's cool. You get to push, like, bookshelves in front of the doors and windows to block them. I'm like, yeah, just like in Resident Evil 4. But, yeah, you know, Resident Evil 5 sounds good.
Yep. Next, we found out about Portal Still Alive, which is like a semi sequel to Portal. That's
they XBLA announced exclusive. It right.
So that's coming this winter.
Ooh, the PC fans won't be happy about that.
I'm sure it'll come to Steam eventually.
But not this year.
I don't know. We'll
that's
see.
What he said. This year, exclusive. Yeah. That's what GLaDOS said. GLaDOS doesn't lie. She's not allowed to anymore.
Yeah. They also showed Lips, which is developed by the Elite Beat Agent devs. It's a karaoke game, motion controlled, sensitive microphone. so you can like play the tambourine and wave it in the air, kind of like a Star Power looking thing. Supposedly this game will let you use any song you want off of your hard drive, Zune, or iPod.
I don't quite understand that, but...
Well, the technology to just punch out lyrics from music has existed for a while, because in most songs, it's not perfect, but in most songs, the voice is the only data that's in the center channel with everything else, either left or right, so you just kind of remove the center channel. It kind of works. Sometimes you hear like an echo.
But it's not going to give you like the lyrics.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Maybe there's something where people can upload lyrics and it'll just be a database.
Maybe.
We'll see how that'll work. They showed like Uno, Rush, Galaga, Legions, a few other things like that for Live Arcade. Galaga Legions
is kind of exciting. Isn't that like what Pac-Man Championship Edition was to Pac-Man?
Yeah, so hopefully that'll be good. Moving along, we had Fable 2. Peter Molyneux came out. The first thing he said was... Fable 2 is finished.
Oh, good. Get
so
please.
It's coming out in October.
Well, you know.
I'm sure a big open game like that you expect has a lot of bug crunching and Q&A to go through.
Fable 2 did not have the delay problems that Fable 1 had.
Well, I think they never really set a date in the first place, which
was still,
smart.
The development cycle is not nearly as long as Fable 1's.
Mm-hmm. So they've got the way co-op in this game is going to work is interesting. As you're playing... It's kind of abstract and hard to understand, but what I understand is there's an orb in the game world that represents all of your friends as they're playing the game in single player. And to invite them to your game, you just walk up to their orb and push a button, and then they just kind of pop in.
What you're trying to say is, as someone's playing through a game, if they're walking through a forest, I'll see an orb kind of sliding along a forest?
Yeah, they have to be on your friends list.
Okay.
And then once you invite them, though, I don't know if like whose game world is the host, if it just kind of... creates this tangential world where like you stop playing single player, start playing multi, and this won't ultimately affect anything. It's just for you guys to run around and get experience.
I like this orb idea.
Yeah, it is a pretty neat way. It's a way of doing the multiplayer game with no lobbies or menu interfaces or anything. It's an organic way. The thing is, though, like what if we want to play, like let's get online and play, and then I find out you're like the other side of the game world. Is there still going to be the option to say, okay, invite him?
Fable 1 had the teleporting everywhere. This one will probably have that too,
that's
right?
That's true.
So
Next up was Gears of War 2. We got some actual gameplay footage.
A lot of co-op action games.
Yeah. That is the big thing. A lot of co-op this year. Really, I think except for like Fallout 3, almost everything they showed was co-op in some capacity. We got Gears of War 2 release date confirmed for November 7th, 2008.
Is that Reemergence Day?
I don't know. Let's see. Don Matrick came out, did some more numbers. Yaying.
Talking about Netflix, right?
Yeah. Well, no. First, we got NBC and Universal is finally joining the Xbox Live Marketplace video service, so you can get like The Office and Heroes and all their movies and stuff up on there, and that's effective today. Then, yes, they came out and John Shepard, who's the head of live services, came out to show off the new Xbox 360 experience.
I have mixed feelings about this. I feel like it's unnecessary.
Well, from what I understand, so we've got this whole new... called a dashboard anymore, but it's like this kind of interesting looking... It looks almost like the kind of sliding iPod. Album covers on iPod.
Yeah.
Except they're going like kind of off at an angle. The rumored avatars proved true. It doesn't have to, but it'll replace your gamer pick, plus you'll have the avatar.
It seems like the 360 already had its style going to me.
The old dashboard is basically what comes up now when you push the guide button. It's a little smaller, more streamlined, and faster. But it's basically the exact same thing.
It seems like a change for the sake of change. I don't see what's the benefit.
I think, really, they've acknowledged that they built the system to support like hundreds of pieces of downloadable content, not expecting it to grow to the tens of thousands level. I mean, we've seen very little of what this ultimately does, but it's supposed to help streamline and make everything more easy to navigate.
That hard already.
Yeah. But one of the nice features is the live party system, which will allow you and your friends to create like a party. You can see each other's avatars. From there, you can all chat. You could jump into games. You mentioned Netflix, which is coming to the Xbox. If everybody is a Netflix subscriber and an Xbox Live Gold member, you can actually watch the movies together and like chat while you're watching. Like it'll synchronize them between everybody.
Interesting.
So that could be cool. Another feature that they didn't really talk a lot about, but I think is really awesome, is you can actually install games to your hard drive now, and you need the disk in the drive to play it, but it'll play entirely off your drive, which will improve loading times, reduce noise and heat.
Well, yeah, good luck with doing that with your 20-gigabyte hard drive.
Though. Yeah, that comes later. That actually wasn't really part of the conference, but we'll get to it. Let's see. So the arcade games, the Netflix announcement. And we saw some of the more mainstream games that have got coming that we really already knew about. Banjo and Viva Pinata.
The original Banjo-Kazooie is coming to Xbox Live.
Yeah, that is going to come to Live this winter.
I wonder how they negotiated that with Nintendo.
Well, it's Rare owns the rights to that game.
Do they?
Yeah. That was an entirely Rare production.
So.
I think Nintendo might have published.
I'm kind of surprised Nintendo somehow they have been able to rights to that.
Mm-hmm. We've got a new Scenit that's going to use the avatars.
Yeah, I guess if they had Perfect Dark, now that I think about it, they had the rights to make a new Banjo-Kazooie.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Next up was Rock Band. They came out to talk.
Didn't Guitar Hero come out first?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say, Guitar Hero. Shoot. I'm looking at it, and I just read Rock Band for some reason.
They're both the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So their big deal was over 85 master tracks on the disc. Music Creator, Metallica album coming out with the game.
The new Metallica album, Death Magnetic.
Okay.
Just thought you'd know.
Thank you. They showed off the instruments, the drums we've seen, the touch slide guitar that we've seen. Wasn't really a lot to it. Oh, I should just mention the Death Magnetic album will come to Guitar Hero 3 and World Tour as soon as the CD launches.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. Then they showed off Lips. They had their kind of music section segment.
That's great.
Then the Rock Band 2 came. They're going to have 84 master tracks on the disc and 20 bonus tracks that will be for free in the fall. They wanted them to be on the disc. They just didn't fit.
No Iron Maiden.
Yes. All downloadable tracks are forward compatible with Rock Band 2 and original tracks are will be able to be imported into the game. We reported that last week. Then it was kind of debunked. And now what they're saying is it might cost you something to do, but less than $5.
They're saying you import most of your songs, whatever that means.
I bet you maybe it's the bonus tracks won't come over.
Maybe. I hope.
Yeah. I bet you, too, it had something to do with licensing. So then the last person to come out was president of Square Enix, Yoichi Iwata. And he dropped the bombshell, Final Fantasy 13 coming to the Xbox 360 in North America, day and date with the PS3 version, and Europe.
Well, didn't he talk about some other things first? Didn't he talk about Last Remnant?
Infinite, Undiscovery, Star Ocean, Last Remnant.
You got no love for any RPGs that aren't named Final Fantasy?
Well, no, they were already, they had that kind of JRPG summit a month ago, and it's basically stuff they said.
And they
have
their own party in early August, actually. It has a weird name, I can't say. But this is the big bombshell of their conference. It turns out to be the big bombshell of the event.
Yeah, and
so far.
It was a pretty good one, I gotta say, all things considered.
It's surprising. For me, it doesn't really mean much.
So
it's good for you because you don't have a PS3.
Right, and now I definitely don't need to buy one anytime soon.
I'm confused, though, because I thought first people were reporting that it's going to come out the same time as the PS3 version, but then they said that they're going to start development on the 360 version.
To finish the game in Japan.
Yeah.
Then they start localizing it.
Yeah.
So that means, it's like a 6 months different it usually ends up being.
Yeah.
During that 6 months, while they're localizing, is when they'll begin the 360 port. Because they're developing the game on the PC with that Crystal Tools system.
Yes.
So the port really shouldn't be that hard. So they figure they'll have localization and the port done at the exact same time. So at that point, it'll come out in America and Europe. On both systems.
Well, isn't the port going to need the localization?
They're going
to
localize as they go, I guess. Right. The two are being done in tandem.
Okay, I don't quite understand, but whatever.
Well, and then the thing is, at this time, there is no plans then to bring it to 360 in Japan after the fact. Which really, I financially, it makes sense. I don't think they're going to be losing any market share.
No, right.
So, but it definitely increases their market share in North America and the parts of Europe where the 360 is more dominant, like in England.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, it's cool. I mean,
they said the only content will be the same. Probably the biggest difference is the 360 that's in disc swapping.
So this is going to be the first Final Fantasy game to be multi-platform at launch.
Yeah.
Except maybe Final Fantasy XI, which did the PC, PS2 thing.
That doesn't count.
Whatever. But even that wasn't right at the same time. I think the PC version actually came out a little earlier. So yeah. Did not see that coming.
No, that was a surprise.
So we had that. Things we didn't hear about that people were talking about was people were saying there might be a Xbox motion controller.
Yep, that didn't happen. That did not happen.
We didn't see Bioshock 2 yet. Some people might have thought we'd see that.
No.
What else do we... I feel like there's some other things people were rumbling about. Oh, Bungie.
Bungie, they still have a countdown clock going. We don't know what it's for yet.
Yeah.
People thought we might hear about the Peter Jackson Halo project that kind of fell off the radar.
Oh, please. That thing. All right, so that was Microsoft's show. It was pretty good.
I mean, a solid B+ if we're gonna rate them.
I'll give it a B. I mean, they showed games coming out this fall that look exciting,
and they showed gameplay, which to me is really important. In fact, I don't think there was a single CG trailer at the event.
Oh, Final Fantasies.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, no, they claim that's gameplay, don't they?
Do they?
Sometimes. I don't know. We'll see. I kind of get confused. Did you see that trailer yet?
The new one?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
It's very pretty.
Yeah, you tell them. Okay, so we'll move on to Nintendo. So the first thing they showed was Shaun White snowboarding. And we thought it was Carrot Top, but it actually is Shaun White who was demoing it on the balance board. He looks just like Carrot Top.
The obvious balance board snowboarding game.
Yeah, no surprise. Okay, I forget this woman's name. Cammy Dunaway. And her position at Nintendo is... I don't know. It doesn't say. By the way, I should mention, I'm just getting this live log information from Joystick and Engadget, so thanks to them for compiling all this stuff. They showed off the Shaun White snowboarding. They did their number stroking for a while. Iwata came out, did more number stroking. There's a lot more number stroking. God, there's a lot of
then there's stroking. Animal Crossing.
Okay, we finally get to a game, Animal Crossing, City Folk. Which is going to be the Wii Animal Crossing game. It has, you know, when you're in just your little town, it's the same Animal Crossing we've been playing for a while now. Then you have the option to go to the city, where it's just kind of like it's mostly for shopping. It seems like that's where a lot of the kind of random online interaction is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's an auction house you can sell and buy items. So it seems like that's going to be like almost an MMO-ish part of the game. It's still Nintendo.
I think the interesting thing is the Wii Speak.
They announced the Wii Speak peripheral, which very attractively sits on top of your sensor bar.
And I like how it's not like a headset or something. It's just a big speaker.
That's actually what the PlayStation Eye does. Just a lot of people don't use it like that.
I didn't know it does that.
Yeah, it has a microphone as well. So basically their whole goal there is, you know, the entire room talking to another entire room. So it's good that they finally have a voice chat option. That's probably the best way for them to do it, in all honesty.
They're not afraid of people talking anymore.
Yeah, they're finally opening up a bit. Then Reggie came out. He did more number stroking. Oh, my God. Then they showed the Star Wars Clone Wars game, which we'd already seen, and that looks pretty bad. They showed a World at War trailer.
They showed Raving Rabbit's TV party.
Yeah. I should mention the COD trailer. They confirmed co-op for the game, and it seems... they make a big deal when the game's Zapper compatible, but it's not like it's doing anything. It's just a shell.
Yeah.
But this kid looked very excited as he was playing it with the Zapper.
He looked really intense, actually. He was kind of scared. I don't think he wanted to be at war.
No. But it was kind of hard. We were watching this video on G4's live coverage of the conference. It's kind of hard to judge the quality of the game because this is the first time we're seeing the COD4 engine running on the Wii, but it looks okay. The fire effects look good, at least.
Yeah.
For the flamethrower.
DS stuff was kind of next.
Yeah, so first was already we have a sequel to Guitar Hero on tour called On Tour Decades.
Not really anything told us about that. No, I'm assuming it's just a new track list.
Yeah, the basic gist of it is. You'll be able to, when you're playing multiplayer, let's say you have Decades and I have just On Tour, we can play multiplayer with each other and play each other's set list. Like, we can share the songs with each other. That's kind of cool.
They had Spore for the Spore Creatures, which looks like almost just like the Spore Creature Creator. Is there much more to it than that?
It's a little, the graphical style is a little different. It looks almost like... Like cardboard cutouts?
I thought that too, but not when they showed it this time, it didn't look like that.
I don't. It was hard to see because they never really showed just a full screen video of it. It was always cameras pointed at the DSs.
Right.
So it's hard to see. Then this was probably their best announcement of the show, I'd say.
Yeah.
But even then, it was pretty specious. We have Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars coming to the DS. Set in Liberty City, same kind of GTA gameplay, but again, no screens, no trailer, nothing. Just the promise of it, so.
It's coming.
Okay. Then they did this little thing about the DS has all kinds of applications. They talked about being used in airports to get information on your flight, luggage, and all this stuff. They're using it at Seattle Mariners games to get like the box scores this.
Whatever.
They didn't talk about the Disney application. You're right. You said they were going to do that and they kind of didn't.
Yeah, but I just thought they would.
Yeah. So that's all fine and good. Then they start talking about the Wii Motion Plus accessory,
which looks neat because it makes the Wii Mote more finely tuned to your wrist.
Yeah, they kind of revealed this. They actually sent out like a little text message to a lot of journalists like about 10 minutes before the 360s conference started.
Yeah.
And telling them to go to the website. So it's a little module that plugs into the bottom of the Wiimote and then has a pass-through for the nunchuck that enhances the motion sensing capabilities of the Wiimote, so you get like a 1-to-1 ratio. When this comes out, it'll also come with the new game, Wii Sports Resort, which will bundle with the device, just one of them, along with every time you buy it, too, you get like the extended Wiimote jacket.
Yeah.
So that it fits the whole thing.
Wii Sports Resort, we saw dog frisbee fetching,
which is exactly like the mini game in Nintendogs.
Yes. The wave racing.
Yes.
And sword fighting, which kind of looks cool, actually.
Yeah. Now we finally might get the lightsaber game now that we have actual one-to-one. We have to. How does LucasArts not look at that and be like, aha, I have an idea, guys. I'm thinking outside the box here.
Hopefully. Maybe Red Steel will work better now.
Yeah,
also.
That's true. So what's going to make or break this is going to be the price of the device. My guess will be $10 for each individual one, which I still feel like is too much. And probably, I feel like the Wii Sport bundle should be $20, but it might end up being $50.
Because
it's only
between
three mini games.
Well, so far.
Yeah. That's true. I think they did hint that that wasn't all of them, which that's good. But I just feel like, part of me feels like, why wasn't this in the Wiimote in the first place? And the other part of me feels like,
it wasn't. Oh, you can't be mad at them for just making something better.
Yeah, I know. I just wonder if this was needed. Like, why not just wait till the next Wii?
Because I don't think they worry about making the next Wii when this Wii is doing
fine.
Yeah,
that's true. Maybe this kind of is like getting the next Wii. You're just upgrading.
There won't
what
be a next
already.
Wii as soon as you think.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember Luke Smith on One Up always talked about how the Wii 2 is going to get announced like
2 years later.
Or like a year later.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking? Okay.
All right. So then Reggie says we have one more announcement. The lights go dark. Then spotlights and smoke turn on. Dramatic music is playing.
Then some douchebag comes out and like waves the Wiimote and nunchuck like an idiot.
So Wii Music is unveiled. This guy is supposedly playing drums with the Wiimote nunchuck, but when he's playing like this drum solo at the end, he looks like he's just waving his hands in the air like he's having a seizure. Then Miyamoto comes out pretending to play saxophone by holding out a Wiimote in front of him and pushing buttons at random. So what I gather, and what a lot of people suspect, the way this game is played, Miyamoto's criticism of most music games is that they're about just pushing buttons in time with things on screen.
They're too much about rhythm.
Exactly. So, basically, it's like those toy keyboards you have where every time you push a button, doesn't matter which button you push, it plays the next note in a song, but by doing that, you can kind of control the rhythm of the song. That's basically what this sounds like to me.
It kind of sounds like a music game for babies.
Yeah, it's going to be like, if I want to play the Mario theme on this thing, I would just go.
This is thrilling. Are you quite done yet?
That's it. Yeah. Like on the A button. Like who cares? Whoopty friggin' do. And this will probably cost $50.
And
so
probably
like,
sell
why?
4 million units.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's,
wow.
And that was it. Like they could have said New Zelda. New.
They said that the Zelda and Mario teams were working on new games.
No kidding. They didn't fire them? Okay, good. But, like, they could have done
it. There was no Kid Icarus.
There
could have
been Kid Icarus. It could have been Punch-Out using
Punch
the Wii
Out.
Motion Plus.
We're hoping for, like, a new big Pokemon game. They didn't even talk about Pokemon Diamond.
Oh, yeah. They had Pokemon Ranger.
Like, 3 or whatever.
Yay.
They're up to now. The girl said it like she was so excited. Like,
yeah.
The next Pokemon game.
The next installment. I'm like, oh, okay, sweet. And she goes, Pokemon Ranger 2. I'm like, oh, please.
Did she realize that we don't like Pokemon Ranger?
So basically, Nintendo has said F you to all the core gamers. Even after promising that they had some announcements in store for us before this conference and like a month ago. And I'm very disappointed. I mean, there was nothing. GTA, that was the best thing that we have to look forward to.
Yeah, if it ever comes out.
Yeah.
Well,
just awful.
Okay, not a great Not a great conference.
So, I don't know if this is an improvement or not, but we go over to Sony. So
well, they showed some games. They're not going in the same direction as Nintendo at all, but they're also still... They're going like the other direction, but also kind of failing.
Yes. So, first they showed Resistance 2.
Which I guess looks nice.
Yeah, like it looks. Sort of it now takes place. This one's set in America, 50s. It's brighter. The boss they showed was supposedly very impressive. The joystick blogger here saying it makes the Colossi and Shadow of the Colossus look like puppy dogs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So now I'm just going to put this out here. Now, remember when I said this. The big deal about this game is it's 8-player online co-op and it's 60-player online multiplayer. Hold that thought. Okay, so we go into some number stroking. Now, they did something pretty clever. They did, instead of using like PowerPoints for their presentations, they made it all a Little Big Planet level and just kind of ran through it. That's pretty cool,
I guess.
So that was kind of the way they showed Little Big Planet, too, because we were wondering about that. Little Big Planet getting an October release, which is a bit of a delay from the previously promised September release.
I'd be happy to see it this year.
Yeah. They then announced their, like, PlayStation, I don't know, the bundle, or the value line, whatever. $30 games.
Greatest hits.
Greatest hits, yeah. Resistance, MotorStorm, Warhawk, COD3, Fight Night, Need for Speed Carbon, Rainbow Six Vegas, Assassin's Creed, Oblivion, and Ninja Gaiden.
Assassin's Creed's on there, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Surprised Bioshock's not on there, actually.
Yes. Then they talk about the PS2, they're still talking about it. It's getting a new bundle. $150 for PS2 with Lego Batman and the Justice League DVD movie thing that's coming out.
Because that plays DVDs, kids.
Yes. They really don't seem to have any interest in dropping it from $129 to $100. It's going to stay there. So,
okay. It'll get there eventually. This is interesting.
So then they talked about some PlayStation Network stuff. They're moving towards having a single sign-on thing for the PC, PS3, and PSP. I thought we already did, but I guess they're going to make it even tighter.
Okay.
That's fine. They showed, actually, this is pretty cool. They showed Ratchet & Clank Future Quest for Booty, which is kind of like a mini sequel to Ratchet & Clank Future.
Tools of Destruction.
$15 for like just kind of short little Ratchet & Clank game, which is kind of nice.
That's neat.
They showed off some other PSN games. Crash Commando Fat Princess, which apparently looks like Castle Crashers. Pixel Junk Eden, A New Pain, Flower, which is from the Flow guys, Siren, Blood Curse, a new Ragdoll Kung Fu game called Fist of Plastic. Did you ever play Ragdoll Kung Fu?
A little bit. I know you liked it.
Yeah. So then they went on to talk about their movie and TV service, which actually they announced is going live today.
How many titles is how big is this library?
I don't know. It's rentals and buys. It's like $2.99 SD rentals, $5 HD rentals, $15 to buy an SD movie, and I don't think apparently you cannot buy HD movies, only rent them, which is kind of strange. So then they went ahead and showed Home.
Oh, they showed Home again?
Yep. Nothing really new about it.
It's homey.
Yeah.
It'll be nice when it gets here.
And they moved to the PSP. That's getting a new bundle, another entertainment pack. This one with Ratchet & Clank Size Matters, a silver PSP, gigabyte memory stick, National Treasure 2 on UMD, and a voucher for Echo Chrome off the store. That's $199. So if you don't have a PSP, it's not
decent.
It's not a bad deal. Should I pay that for National Treasure?
Yeah.
So then Jim Lee, who's the director of DC Universe Online, first, he came out on stage and did some one-handed push-ups. I'm not really sure why.
Why not?
Then they kind of showed off DC Online. They kind of made fun of Microsoft, saying Microsoft couldn't get Marvel Universe Online out the door, but here's Sony with DC Universe Online.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, it's kind of what you expect. You make a superhero, and you fight alongside Batman and Superman, or you fight with, like, you know, villains. Like,
all right.
Inmates, example. Imagine being a villain and helping all the inmates at Arkham Asylum escape and attack the Batcave.
Well, can you? Oh, no. Yeah, right.
See, but
you can't really just do that. Like, oh, man, I'm going to go make my character and go to Arkham Asylum and free everyone and go fight Batman. Yeah, right.
See, this whole thing smacks of what ended up happening to Star Wars Online, where it's like, here's Han Solo. Look, there's Boba Fett. Hey, Luke Skywalker. Here comes Darth Vader. It's like, whoa, hang on a second, you know?
I'm going to make a character named Batman Ultrabot. This is a robot that Batman made, so that he can defend the world when Batman dies someday.
I see.
And he's even stronger and cooler than Batman and a robot.
Good luck with that.
Why not? And then I'm going to go free everyone at Arkham Asylum, and I'm going to go, I don't know.
Batcave?
No. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to go build, like, an island where we're going to, you know, have cheap rates for film production crews.
Okay, good.
I can do whatever I want.
That's right. Imagine.
And then I'll make movies based off of the crappy DC licenses.
And sell them in the Sony PlayStation Network store.
Yeah, I can do whatever I want.
Then except sell them in HD. You can only rent them.
Then we'll all go to the Daily Planet and, you know, attack Superman or something. This is... I don't know.
I agree. Okay. So they announced the 80 gigabyte core pack of the PlayStation 3, which will be $399.99.
Now, was the $43.99.99 just a little bit ago?
It is still.
Oh.
This will come out in September.
So they're just doubling it.
Basically, yeah.
You know, I'm kind of pissed that I bought a PS3 for $600 and it was the 60 gigabyte one. Although I do have that backwards compatibility.
Yeah,
because,
well, they didn't outright say it, but the way they worded it was like all the functionality of the current 40 gig, which to me means two USB ports, no SD card readers, and no backwards compatibility. So if you want a backwards compatible PlayStation, it sounds like if you could find the Metal Gear 80 gigs anymore, this is your last chance. Like, after this, it sounds like it's gone, which is kind of pissing me off.
You can get that new PS2 bundle.
Yeah, I guess.
Get some Justice League.
Just the thing is, I want to be able to just have the one device and play with the wireless controller. I mean, I've been playing Shadow of the Colossus and Okami on your PS3, and I'm enjoying the experience of it. It's very nice.
Too bad.
Yeah, I guess. So then they went into showing off some more games. Mostly, it was really interviews with developers saying, oh, the PlayStation 3 was really hard to develop with, but we're getting used to it. Treyarch,
guys, okay.
Tiberian, Ubisoft,
it's getting better.
Bethesda.
Bethesda.
All these guys came out and said some nice things.
To say Bethesda.
Yes. So then, we had our big reveal. God of War 3, with a CG trailer.
So basically,
it was just them saying, okay, everyone, we know you've been wondering, and yes, much to your surprise, we're going to make a God of War 3.
They already pretty much announced it at the back of the instruction manual for Chains.
Yeah, like no one was surprised by this. It's a CG trailer, big whoop.
Yeah, see, like, it doesn't calm my fears that this game will not be any different from the God of War 2.
Yeah,
just prettier.
So this
That's
was
what I'm kind of
worried
about.
This was kind of pointless.
Well, I mean, you know, it's nice.
It's nice to know that,
and
yes,
people,
they
people
are, in fact, doing it.
People are obviously excited. It's a very popular franchise, so it's good to get a game out there and say, look what's coming, at least.
So then Sucker Punch showed Infamous, which, don't get me wrong, I think Infamous looks like a pretty good game. But shouldn't God of War 3 kind of been their closer?
Yeah, why Infamous?
I mean, it looks fun. It kind of looks like a more adult Crackdown, I guess would be how I'd put
Maybe.
It.
Maybe.
So, you know, that could be good. And then they come out with MAG from Zipper Interactive.
Massive
the guys
Action
who make,
Game.
These are the guys who make SOCOM. Yeah, this literally stands for Massive Action Game. Like, they weren't thinking at all. So the guy is sitting here talking, and he's saying, you know, we got these big battles, blah, blah, blah. Now, okay, they spent all this time making a big deal about Resistance 2 60-player multiplayer battles. Then this game, 256 players. It's almost like they're saying, oh, don't even think about Resistance anymore. This one's going to have 256. It's almost like people are like, well, shit, why would I buy Resistance? This is going to be even bigger.
How many freaking people do I need to play on? I don't even like playing these games with these people.
I know.
Last thing I need is 255 of them playing with me?
So you've got, that's the player limit, and then but it puts you in an 8-player squad. So really, it's not too different from what Resistance is doing, just with more people to
Bullshit.
Work with. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there talking about this game, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this sounds like Planetside. After Jack Tretton said, this has never been done before. I'm thinking to myself, Planetside did this 10 years ago. So then they show a trailer, and it's CG, so it may as well not even be there.
Really long, boring CG trailer.
Yeah, first of all, if you ever play a game where you actually get 120 people to, like, covertly come up to the base and line up along the wall and wait for the explosives to go off and time the explosive as the tank's driving through. If that happens, I'll like eat a PlayStation, like bit by bit. I'll pour some ketchup on it and cut it into pieces and eat it, because that will never happen.
Yeah,
Never.
I'm not feeling Nag.
No. I agree. I'd rather go reactivate my Planet Side subscription.
I'm so sick of these sort of like dirty modern era first person.
Yeah, modern military has become the new World War II.
Well, even Call of Duty, like they colorize it a bit. They dressed up a little bit.
I'm looking at the screenshot here. It's just brown.
Yeah,
brown with some gray.
I just see brown. And
it just looks so derivative.
I can't believe they closed their show with this.
Yeah, and this closed their show. This was their big announcement.
Didn't they not realize that Microsoft closed their show with Final Fantasy 13?
I don't think so.
By the way, you notice that they did not talk about that.
They probably saw that and were like, shit.
Like, okay.
Whoops. So that was E3?
Wow.
How the mighty have fallen.
I guess. The biggest deal coming out of E3 is that Final Fantasy 13 is multi-platform.
It's not a bad announcement. I mean, that even in years past might have been like, well,
what's
wow.
the big new game announced?
No, there's nothing.
They caught God of War 3, I guess. But like,
but we knew that was coming.
Well, yeah, you could say about a lot of things, but like,
yeah,
it was a little disappointing.
The biggest announcements, Final Fantasy 13, I think the Xbox new experience is kind of big.
Kind of, but unnecessary, I feel like.
Yeah.
This is not going to... I think the problem is that this fall just isn't going to be nearly as good a fall as 2007's fall was.
No, 2007's fall
We're not going to get, like, Mario Galaxy and Bioshock and Call of Duty 4 and Halo 3 and all that stuff around the same time.
I felt like we have, like, an even fall. Because I was saying to you, we have, like, in August, I'll get Too Human. In September, it'll be Spore and Force Unleashed.
I feel like we're in the middle of this console generation, maybe a little past it. And I'm just worried things are getting stale. Because we're getting the same kind of first person shooters, the same kind of weird Wii games, you know, it's just all getting a little stale.
Mm-hmm.
The same kind of music game. Here's another guitar.
I also like how Sony kind of, in the same breath, they talked about how they have created the 10-year console cycle with PlayStation, and how that was 15 years ago.
Yeah,
I'm like, wait a second, you're on your third one.
Wait, one.
Well, I like
two.
How they consider. They think that like it's like the PlayStation 2's in its what eighth year now. They like still count that as going. No, when the PlayStation 3 comes out, the PlayStation 2's it doesn't matter if you keep releasing some games for it. I mean, all the games are just downgraded ports anyway.
Not Persona 3. We got Persona 4 coming.
Yeah, okay, that's like it. Okay, every other game is just a downgrade. Mercenaries, Madden, Lego Batman, all the ones that they seem to be so damn proud of. They're just downgraded ports.
Wait, Mercenaries 2 is coming to PS2?
Mm, they haven't really shown that much.
Call of Duty 5 is, or World at War.
Yeah, exactly. And really, the PlayStation 2 would not be alive were it not for the Wii. I'm convinced of that.
I remember their 2006 press conference. You know, that sucked, but at least it sucked in funny ways.
Yeah,
this was just kind of... giant enemy crabs and...
Yeah.
Well, it was... Okay. So... Well, is there anything else to look forward to E3? Remember last 2 years ago, I gave up hope that Nintendo didn't announce Smash Bros. Then they announced it like later at some other thing.
It's always possible. Activision has a press conference tonight, Tuesday night.
Well, they've got Guitar Hero.
I mean, it goes till Thursday, so something's got to come up, and we'll have all that next week.
Maybe.
So
maybe something will come up.
Yeah. In the meantime,
You know what else was missing? The biggest news story of 2008, Mega Man 9.
Oh, no, Capcom talked about it at the event.
Oh.
Basically, they announced it, even though it's already came out. They officially announced it.
Did they pause for applause?
They better have.
I would have.
But right. The big thing is that it is coming to all three systems.
I thought we said this last week.
It keeps going and coming and going, but it's official.
I thought last week was when it was really for official.
Because it was at the end of the trailer, but now they've made the official announcement themselves.
Oh, well, okay. All right.
Yes. So there's that.
Okay.
So
I'm glad we got Mega Man 9 in there.
Yeah. So here's the rest of the news from the past week. I mean, really not a lot because people are waiting for E3 for stuff. Apparently, Activision wants to take on iTunes. Bobby Kotick of Activision... said, it would be a natural evolution of the franchise. I don't think there's been a lot of credible alternatives to iTunes. Guitar Hero certainly has that potential.
Wait, no, they're not the same thing.
Well, first of all...
I don't get it.
To their credit, since the Activision Vivendi merger, this gives them access to Universal Records, which has most of the, like, a lot of the music in the world. So they have access to a lot of music now. But whereas Rock Band was like, every week, hey, here's at least three new songs... Not a lot of Guitar Hero 3 DLC, so maybe let's work on that before we start saying we're going to take on iTunes.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, they're not ready.
And plus, if you really want to compete with iTunes, there needs to be something where it's like, hey, you bought this song at Guitar Hero, and now you could go download the MP3 on your computer. That's what's going to compete with iTunes.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So this is my favorite non-E3 announcement. There's a new company, Good Old Games, or GOG. Go to their website. It's actually controlled by CD Projekt, the guys who made The Witcher.
Okay.
They're going to offer old PC games for anywhere from $6 to $10. Including Vista and XP compatible, DRM free.
This includes one of your old favorites, Giant Citizen Kabuto.
I know, I'm so happy. I actually found the second disc of that the other day, but I don't know where the first disc is.
Well, it doesn't matter.
You I know. So that's really awesome, and I look forward to that. It starts in September. I signed up for the beta, so hopefully that works well. Warhammer Online saw some pretty big feature cuts. They cut the capital cities for the Dark Elves, High Elves, Orcs, and Dwarfs. So only the human city of Altdorf and the Chaos Inevitable city will be the capitals in the game.
Chaos Inevitable.
Yeah. Considering that this is like a realm versus realm combat game, you'd think capital cities would be important.
That seems weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, weren't those... And isn't that like something that they kind of work on pretty early, like cities and stuff?
Yeah, they also cut a bunch of classes.
Well, that's not as bad, because apparently this game has like 20-some classes.
Yeah, but it's the Dark Elf Blackguard, the Orc Chapa, Empire Knight of the Blazing Sun, apparently because his name was too long, and the Dwarf Hammerer.
I can't get over Chaos Inevitable. That sounds like the name of like rock.
It's the Chaos Inevitable City. Like, under chaos, this city is inevitable. I think that's what it's trying to say.
What's the name of the city?
Inevitable City, I think.
So it's the Wait, I don't get it.
Explain this
to me again.
There's human and there's chaos. I don't know. I don't know Warhammer.
Why does it say inevitable? Because Chaos Inevitable sounds awesome. It's like a name of like a rock CD or something.
I don't know.
Chaos Inevitable? That's sweet. I'm stealing that for something.
Okay, good. So on the 11th, the iPhone 3G came out along with the iPhone App Store, and we put it on your iPod Touch.
Yes, if this was a tech podcast, I'd talk about it in detail, but luckily it isn't.
Well, we got some games.
Okay.
There's the one...
Fun, cheap games.
Yeah, we got all the free ones, basically. You know, there's a nice puzzle sliding game that uses the accelerometer. The one I really liked was the one where you're twisting the iPhone to actually rotate the world around a constantly moving sphere.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's just a nice little showcase of the technology. So have fun with that. Konami announced the Metal Gear Online Gene expansion. I have three new maps, two new playable characters, and Meryl and Johnny. And the ability to play as customized female characters in a survival mode and a reward shop for spending your in-game points on new gear.
Sounds kind of... Are there any new maps?
Yeah, I said two, three, rather.
Did you? Sorry.
Yeah, first thing.
Oh, my bad. Well, that sounds cool. I gotta get into that, actually.
Yeah, I agree. So now we move on to sadder news. Flagship Studios is no more.
That's what happens when you're...
It's always sad when people lose
their
jobs.
But that's what happens when your one big game kind of fails.
Yeah, so they were working on Mythos, and apparently Mythos, the rights to that went to a Korean company called Hambit Soft. So I presume they're going to continue development, because really, what I played of the beta was a pretty solid little game.
Right.
As a free-to-play and download game with like monetized... elements. I thought it could have worked. Hellgate rights go to Comerica, and apparently Hellgate is kind of popular in Korea.
Well,
so
yeah,
they'll probably Comerica will probably work with Hambit Soft to continue that as well.
What did these people leave Blizzard again?
Were they fired? Years ago. No, no. They wanted to do their own company. And
how'd that work out for them?
They acknowledged that their problem was they were a new company that tried to make a game that was a proprietary 3D engine that did randomization with a proprietary network structure that handled subscription and non-subscription play with an extensive single-player campaign with first- and third-person combat elements. You can see where this was a little hard.
Yeah, they bit off way more than
yes,
they can
that's
chew.
Basically the problem. It said three of the founders, it didn't say who, but I presume Bill Roper's amongst them, are actually paying out of their own pocket to give all the employees a 30-day pension. Which
That's
is nice of them.
Yeah.
So at least they're handling it well. I wish all those guys luck.
Maybe they can work on Diablo 3 now.
Yeah, maybe they'll go back to Blizzard.
They can start working on Diablo 4 and get that ready. So
yeah.
I don't have to wait so long this time.
So we hinted at it, but Microsoft announced a 60 gigabyte 360 in August. 20 gigs getting discontinued. And until they're gone, they're $300. So now's a good time to get an Xbox.
Yes.
The 60 gig hard drive will come later this year separately. $100 for the drive with 3 months of live and some other goodies.
Like, there's no way I can get like the stuff on my 20 gigabyte hard drive like on there.
No,
there?
It comes with a transfer kit.
Oh, that's
120 gigs now come with a transfer kit.
Oh, okay.
And well, that's getting a price drop from 180 to 150, which is still too expensive. But now with the video stuff and now installable games, sounds kind of necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have to invest in one of those eventually. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, Warren Spector finally blogged. He hasn't blogged in 4 months, but he's got the new studio at Disney now. So yeah. He said, "My team and I have been working hard on our own game and get ready for the cool factor to go way up in collaboration with folks from Disney Animation and Pixar. If I say any more, I'll get in trouble, so let's just leave it at that."
What do you think it is?
I hope it's some kind of really awesome Mickey Mouse platforming game.
Oh, wait, that's the one that was rumored, though, right? Yeah, okay, right. Well, that's what I'm hoping for, too.
Yes.
Maybe, though... This Warren Spector and Disney is going to save us from like a weird platforming drought.
Yes. So I'm excited to see what that yields.
All right. Well, all right. Long news segment.
Yeah. I'm kind of having a hard time speaking right now for some reason. Yeah. My mouth gets tired when I talk too much. Let's move on to the great Canadian Mike Zor's gaming quiz.
Oh, that's right. Let's do it.
All right.
I want my quiz back.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Name one of the Dreamcast code names.
Oh. Oh, let's see. Pretty sure that was the one that was... No, wait, no. No, crap. That GameCube was Dolphin. Let's drink... Oh, crap. I got something in my head, but I feel like that was the Saturn one. Black Belt.
You are correct.
Oh, good. I was worried that was Saturn. It was the Sega Black Belt. Good.
The full listing is White Belt, Black Belt, Dural, Dricus, Vortex, Katana, and Shark. I think Black Belt, Dural, and Katana were the most well-known ones. Okay, in honor of E3, where was the first E3 held? What city?
Crap. Not Los Angeles? If it wasn't Los Angeles... Let's see. Probably... I know it's probably somewhere west. Why was it in Los Angeles? San Diego.
Los Angeles!
Oh.
The trick was, it was in L.A. first, then it went to Atlanta for a while, and then came back to L.A.
This is a trick question. A
little bit.
Okay. Well, I'm still on this.
Okay. I'm going to give you three games.
Okay.
Game worlds, really. Name the unit of money for each game universe.
Oh, God.
Final Fantasy.
Gil.
Mega Man.
Zenny.
And Kingdom Hearts.
This should be by far the easiest.
I thought it would be the easiest.
Wouldn't it just be Gil again? No. Wait. Money. M-U-N-N-Y.
Correct.
Yes!
You got it.
Oh my God. Oh.
Well, I didn't. I thought Zenny might trip you up.
I always remember Zenny for some reason. Seriously, I'll just be sitting there sometimes thinking. Remember how the money in Mega Man Legends was called Zenny? That was weird.
Which it continues in Star Force and all that, I guess.
Oh, really?
That's cool, yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God.
There was a code for the original NES Metroid
to get
100% of all the items, all the mini bosses defeated. The only things you didn't have was the ice beam. What was that code?
Was that a pat? Oh, dang it.
It was pretty. It was fairly popular, well known code.
Oh, shoot.
You're going to know when I say it.
Dang it. It was probably some kid's name won a contest.
That's one of the rumored explanations of it, I'll tell you.
Oh.
Then no one is really sure where this code comes from.
Billy.
Justin Bailey.
That's right, Justin.
Remember
Bailey.
That?
Yeah, it sounds familiar. I wouldn't have guessed it. But, yeah.
So you have lost the potential now to win, but you can still get a 4 out of 5.
I feel like I was doing so good.
You were doing good. CMI sword fight.
Okay.
These are good go-to questions. You are a disgrace to your species. You're so undignified.
So undignified. Actually, I don't know this one, so.
At least mine can be identified.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right, bonus question. What was special about that insult?
The special thing about that insult was that it was only used for fighting the boss guy.
What was his name?
God.
You should really replay CMI.
Yeah. Wait a second. His name was... What, I didn't know his name. I told you it was special. I'm not going to win anyways.
Captain Rottingham.
Rottingham, right. I got the point.
You got 3.5 out of 5.
Okay, fine. You round up.
4 out of 5.
God.
Yes, you round up.
Close. I'm getting it.
Yes. No, you got 3 out of 5.
I liked your money one. No.
Wait. Yeah.
I got the first one.
Yeah, you didn't get the second one.
What was the second one?
The E3 question. Right. You missed the Metroid question. You missed the insult.
I got the third one. I got one.
Yeah, you got these two and the bonus. 3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dang it. I suck.
I thought you'd do better, I gotta say.
What? Well, the second one was a trick question. You didn't really think I was going to get the fourth one.
I thought you would. I thought that was like a kind of well-known thing.
Shut up. All right. Go ahead.
Downloadable game releases.
We talk about our games. Weekend game. Yes,
jeez, God. I always do that.
You go first.
Okay.
I played Shadow Colossus. Talk about that.
I'm through to the 6th Colossi now. The bird one, which was number 5.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, that's sweet.
So good.
He dives towards you and you have to jump on him.
And grab onto his wing and I'm like freaking out. Yeah, that was...
It's awesome. I love that game.
That was pretty awesome. It was very epic. And like I said, I was playing on the PS3 and I like the way it plays there, so... I want a backwards compatible PS3.
I know you do. What else did you play?
I've been playing a lot of Civ Rev on the DS. Because the problem I find with Civ Rev is it's hard to find time to just sit down and play it.
Yeah.
But I just keep my DS in my pocket whenever I got some time to kill. I just play a few turns.
We played... Oh, yeah. We can finally talk about it. Yeah, we got Civ Rev. We played it the day we got it. We played 2 games. I haven't played since just because we've been busy.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight, hopefully, after the All-Star game. But we played that. So me and you played our first game. And I think we mentioned we played Civ 4 the other day, and I was terrible at it. Mm-hmm. I lost to the Barbarians. We played Civ Rev, though, and... when Americans actually won our first game.
You did.
With a cultural victory.
Yes.
Then we played again. It was me, you, and our friend Pete. Pete Davison, actually, the brother of John Davison, who I want to have on the show sometime.
Yes.
So that, you know, then we can truly be a one-up years knockoff, I say.
Yes.
So we were playing, and it was kind of funny because you were off doing God knows what.
Well, I got sectioned off by all the NPCs. Like, I had... like Egypt and China completely surrounding me. And in fact, I was doing terribly in the beginning. I had bad resource distribution. I almost lost very early. And then started getting all these little cultural takeovers out of nowhere. And almost, I completely wiped out Egypt basically through culture.
Right. So I basically had no idea what you were doing. To my left was China, which was just wanted to destroy me for whatever reason, but they weren't very good at it. Then to my right was our friend Pete, who was English, and I made him play as England for it.
Yeah.
I told him he does not have a choice in the matter, and I was America, so it was kind of interesting because we were right by each other, and for a while we had this like sort of intense spy war. It was kind of like a Cold War between our nations.
Yeah.
So we were doing that for about 1,000 years. Then finally we kind of sort of called a bitter truce on it, and then we had a sort of a caravan trade going for a while. So interesting relationship between our countries. So for a while I realized I was making a lot of money on stuff, so I was going for the economic win. It got to a point where, you know, I had enough money. I had 20,000 gold, so I could build the World Bank Wonder, which means victory.
Now, at this point, it says...
No, wait a second. I'll tell this. Well, so I'm like, well, okay, I'll build it, but someone might nuke me, because you have the ability to send a nuclear strike somewhere.
Well, it tells you that I found the Manhattan Project.
Right.
I got,
that's right.
I saw I was coming up in my research, and I got a great person who lets you just instantly research a technology. No, instantly lets you build a wonder. Because I researched the technology, so I started building it and used him to instantly finish it. So right. I had it right away. And I just saved it as like a deterrence.
So I'm like, well, I don't want to get nuked. So I went... So first off, I made sure my production would be crazy. I even transferred to communism, which that was my production. So I start building the wonder in my capital city and in Buffalo. So Washington and Buffalo, basically. Mm-hmm. My capital city, it's going to take 5 turns. In Buffalo, it's going to take 8. So then, shortly afterwards, a couple turns later, here comes the nuke.
Well, it flashes on my screen and everybody else's screen. So Kota has begun construction of the World Bank Wonder in Buffalo. Didn't say anything about Washington.
So here comes the nuke. I'm like, oh, crap. They're going to attack Washington, and Buffalo isn't well guarded. They're going to get that. Oh, crap. So here comes the nuke. I'm like, oh, dang it. And then it kind of going... goes right past Washington and hits Buffalo. So I'm like, oh, and crap.
Obliterates Buffalo.
Yeah, I had to play it up. Like, yeah, oh, you no! did.
You're like, oh, it's gone. It's gone. Yeah. Oh, no.
So, so no one knows, but in a couple of turns, my World Bank's going to be built in Washington. So everyone just kind of like counts me out. Like, yay.
Yeah, I'm going to get a cultural victory. It's going to be sweet. And all of a sudden, it's just you won. I was like, son of a bitch.
So I'm 2-0 right now. I'm feeling pretty good about destroying you. Usually I suck at these kind of games, but there we go.
I gotta say, Civ Rev is phenomenal. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Obviously, we're enjoying it a lot.
Like the DS version, my initial review to you was all the gameplay, none of the charm, and I'm kind of getting past it.
Yeah,
there's just a lot of graphical shortcomings. They use this kind of more painterly style instead of the cartoony style.
That makes sense.
And everything looks kind of dark. Is like the way I describe it. It doesn't seem very vibrant. Also, I finally figured out how they represent armies on screen. The health bar very subtly changes.
Okay.
But, like, it's hard to see that at a glance. It's just some things are buried a little more.
Right. You both played the 2-Human demo.
Yes.
Which was just fun, I thought.
I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was pretty good.
I was surprised. My one complaint is looking at... They only let you play as the champion, which is kind of the basic melee fighter. The skill trees, most of it's very passive.
Yeah.
You want your sword to do more damage. You want your air attacks to do
it's
more
damage.
It's not
like Diablo where you're going to get all these kind of crazy skills.
Yeah,
you're not going to
build spider ability in your battle.
You're
cry.
Not
going to
get
That's
walls out of bones or something like that.
Yeah.
One thing I kind of don't like is I don't feel like there's a lot of weight behind my attacks. If you kind of know what I mean.
There's a lot of these advanced attacks you could do. For one, you'd never know if you were doing them if you didn't go read the menu. Like, it never tells you in game. And just it's hard to know if you're pulling it off or not. Like, there's something you could do where you slide by hitting the right stick when you're far away from someone, and then you have to hit the right stick and the left stick at the same time to slide into a finisher. But it just seems like the slide already initiates the attack.
Yeah,
I just don't know if I'm pulling it off or not.
It does. It works better than I thought it would. The interface is a little slow, but
the problem I have is you're going through this really pretty good fast-paced combat, and you're always finding new items and leveling up, and when you pause the game to go through those menus completely take you out of the experience.
You need to start talking about what you like now, because you said you liked it, and you said all
I like the flow of combat. I like how quickly you could jump from target to target
and
very
fluidly.
And I like
how you go between like a sword or guns.
Yeah, very, very quickly and easily. The gameplay, I think, is great. It's the minutiae that are bothering me. And again, it's minutiae, but I think it's still important. Like, the menu design is awful.
I don't know if it's that bad. It's slow.
Well, it's slow to navigate.
Yeah, but to make it easy to switch to, like, a different helmet or something. You know, I don't have to, like, go through, like, a box inventory system and, like, this is a helmet, this is a thing. It organizes all that
for you. But it can't even, like, after I've equipped that helmet, I wish I could just push the start button to get out of all the layers of menus. You got a B button out of everything, you know? Just stuff. It's just little things.
Maybe
that
might even be faster by the time it comes out.
Hopefully, they still got 2 months.
I don't know if it's terribly well written right now.
I'm kind of enjoying the story.
I don't know. It's a lot of generic things.
Well, no, it's not the cool. Really? It's like a futuristic Norse mythology.
I like the setting.
It's so cool.
I don't like the dialogue very much.
Goblins and trolls are like these kind of mechanized beasts.
Right, but you have the guy saying, "Oh, it's a good day to die." Oh yeah.
I liked him. I liked it when he was like monsters tell stories of me to their children to frighten them.
Yeah, I thought
that was funny.
But no, I have some hope for 2-Human. I played the Tales of Vesperia demo.
What'd you think?
It's very much a Tales of game.
Didn't appeal to me at all looking at it.
No.
It's that same what I hate about JRPGs, they've got voice acting now. But they still got those word bubbles, and you still have to push the button to advance the word bubble. It's like, you're reading it to me. Why do I have to read it and push a button? Just let it keep going.
Yeah, it was going pretty... I don't know. That doesn't bother me in that.
That's just one of the annoyances I have.
The Tales of Game are very much JRPG campy to an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the beginning. Like, I remember Tales of Symphonia, when I first started playing it, I just thought it was terrible. And then somehow something clicked.
You start playing this demo, and they were doing a lot of name-dropping early on. They're like... I don't know the names. They're like, "Hey, Rip, did Taz go over to the city of Vesperia to meet Olgin yet?" And I'm like, "Who are these people? Right. Where's this place? What's going on?"
Well, you know, that's what you get when you get dropped in the middle of a JRPG. I'll tell you what, the boss kicked my ass at the end.
Yeah?
It was just kind of weird. Maybe if I could level my own terms, I would have been better prepared for it.
But, right.
It's very much Tales of...
Yes.
So, there's that. I haven't played Tales of Legendia after I started very much. It didn't grab me right away.
No.
But we'll see. Really a big game for me this week was I've been playing Akami.
Mm-hmm. I played some too.
I don't I don't know. I don't like it as much as other people seem to.
People seem to say it starts slow and gets better.
Yeah, but I'm 5 hours into it now.
I hate games that do that. Why can't it just start good?
Well, it's annoying because people are talking to me all the time. I'll do a little bit of something, then someone wants to talk to me for a while. And it's constantly bogging things down. There are puzzles that have very obvious solutions, and I don't even, people still tell me the solution. Like,
yeah, that
like,
bothers
like,
me too.
Oh, it's night, and here's a cave drawing of a sun. I'm like, okay, I'll draw a sun. Hey! Hey, Amy! Maybe if you draw a circle in the sky, it'll draw a sun. I was like,
you're like, okay, and you hold down R1. It's like, okay, put the brush here and like, draw right. a circle. It's like, oh my God, I figured this out 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is my little bug psychic, Isun or whatever, he's even worse than Navi.
I heard he gets better.
What is that supposed to mean?
There's a plot twist or something with him.
Secret, he's a god.
Yeah.
There's a plot twist. That's not really a spoiler. So
yeah, we don't
guessing.
Know. We're just guessing.
If it is.
Whoops.
Maybe he's the main bad guy or something. Oh. Ooh.
No, he's probably one of the missing god things you're trying to find.
Yeah, whatever. I'll tell you what, though. It annoys me how there's this pretty cool setting, but like some characters just kind of ignore it. Another case of like bad writing. Like Isun is kind of saying all these modern things and all these.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I'm encountered this one guy who's French.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is this? And this guy's like French, like, oh, mon ami, et au revoir. And I'm like, what the fuck
We're
is that?
We're in feudal Japan. I don't want any French guy.
I do not like that at all. That is a big no-no. This guy, I mean, he's kind of cool and stuff. I don't know why he's French. I guess I thought like, oh crap, how are we gonna give this guy attitude? How do we make him seem cocky? Oh, French. It's the single most uncreative thing they could have jumped to.
Oh, that's great.
It upsets me.
Yes, I understand.
So I'm 5 hours into it. I feel like I have to trudge through it because it's the Squadron of Shame mission.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll improve. The combat's, you know what? There are a lot of little things I like, but it's not like Zelda. We're like, okay, you're in a dungeon now. This is going to be a lot of straight-up gameplay for a while. For like an hour at least. There's none of that. It's all little chunks of this and
yeah,
a little bit of
mean.
This.
I know what you mean.
And what are you supposed to... I don't know. But that's Okami right now.
Yep. That's for me. You got anything else?
I've been trying to beat Mega Man 2 diligently.
That's
still.
Been amusing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been getting upset. But I'm, still at it. No, that's it for that. Let's talk about what's coming out.
Okay.
Out.
So here's last week's downloads. On the WiiWare, they released Spog's Racing, kind of arcade racing game. And on the Virtual Console, King of the Monsters.
Oh, that's that game.
With that old SNK arcade game.
Didn't they
game.
Always play it on Nick Arcade?
I think so. Good game. Xbox Live Arcade, we had Schizoid, which it looks like a twin-stick shooter, but it's different. It's very co-op focused, I know. And Golf, Tee It Up. And I presume that's some kind of golf game. On the PlayStation Network, we have nothing. On GameTap, Avion, which is some kind of RPG. And Clay Fighter.
Oh, Clay Fighter.
I know, so.
There's no Descent game this week? Did they put them all out?
No.
All right.
It's weird. Descent Free Space 2 is one of the games that's going to be on that good old games, but it's open source and free. I actually downloaded it. I haven't gotten around to playing it yet. I was going to do that this week. And now for the For Reals game releases.
Real games, yes. Well, we got NCAA football
Which,
for everything.
I should mention, I played the 09. Demo of that, and I'm just,
it's
whatever.
A horrible game.
Yeah.
The Golden Horde for the PC, July 15th. Sounds like an RTS.
Yeah, it's some kind of strategy.
City Life, 2008 edition for PC. Sounds like a bad Sim City clone.
Yeah.
Deadliest Catch, Alaskan Storm for the PC, July 15th, though, right?
Ooh.
We Love Golf is finally coming out July
15th. I want to get that.
For Wii.
That's the Camelot guys.
Yeah,
those are the guys made Mario Golf.
I want to rent that. How about that?
Okay, we'll rent it first.
1701 AD, Gold Edition for the PC, July 16th. Code Lyoko, Quest for Infinity, PSP, July 15th. Noble Thing to Quest for. B-Boy. PS2, July 15th.
Hip-hop themed dancing game.
Okie dokie. Rock Band Track Pack, Volume 1 for Wii and PS2.
Oh, that's cool.
Space Chimps, Xbox 360, Wii, PS2, DS, July 15th. Movie Time.
PS3.
And Major League Eating, the game for WiiWare, July 14th. Not a very exciting week.
New.
No. Most exciting thing is probably the Two Human demo.
Yes.
411 Mania. We got the 10th hour. Top 10 games he wanted to see at E3. Number 10 is Mega Man 9. Obviously, we're big fans of Mega Man 9. He even mentioned how much we're excited about it. So, That was fun. Nice Final Fantasy 13. Not much new to see, but obviously the big announcement
about it.
And like I said, very early August, there's the big Square thing. So hopefully we'll see something there. Warhammer Online. I don't know if he's going to see much of that.
Yeah, after their announcements.
No, what's this?
Team Eco project. Nothing happened.
Unfortunately not. No, that was disappointing. Sonic Unleashed. I know he's excited for that.
Talk some stuff about it. I don't think Sega really had a press conference. They kind of sent out press releases.
Maybe it's playable there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Resident Evil 5.
We got to see some co-op gameplay. So, yeah.
Banjo-Kazooie. They Huts showed Bolts that. Is number 4. Number 3 is the new Zelda. Sorry. No. 2 is next big Sony game. Mag. Here it is. You got your Mag. And number 1 is Pikmin 3.
No luck.
No. No.
So, honorable mention of Fable 2. You got to see a bunch of that.
You know, again, he plugs us. So thank you, as always. What else is happening on 411 Asgard?
Oh, let's see. Coming attraction, Drew Robbins takes a look at the games. It's the weekly releases. So he's talking about NCAA and We Love Golf in more detail there. In Fact or Fiction this week, Mark Salma and Jordan Williams talk about trophies versus achievements, Rock Band trackbacks, the 3D Castlevania Fighter, and Mega Man 9.
Yeah,
on the checkpoint.
Wait, what's
John
the fact or fiction on Mega Man 9? Is it good or bad?
I would assume.
Go there now and see if someone thinks Mega Man 9 is bad.
Okay, while that loads. On the checkpoint with John Curry, will POD6 technology make Guitar Hero fresh again? What's POD6? Oh, that's right. That's some kind of MIDI bank thing for. I think it's more for the music creation. I just saw the headline. I didn't read much about it.
Are you trying to talk about Guitar Hero
a little bit? Sorry. Yes. A lot of E3 coverage at 411, so
right. Yeah.
Go check all that out. Alright, let me pull up this fact. Oh god.
Oh, 411 Mania is telling you that you just want a Nintendo Wii.
I don't want a Wii. Shut up.
You're freezing my browser. Just push the mute button.
I did, okay. Mega Man 9 is going to be hot, and they both say fact.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. That was a close one.
That was a close one. Okay. To the mail barrel. I have an email. First of all, this comes from Al.
Who's Al?
No, wait, that's the wrong email.
What are you talking about?
Where'd that email go? I got some from a new listener.
Oh?
I lost track of it.
I hope you didn't.
It's in here. I just gotta find it. Well, here, I'll read the one from David.
David, right.
Dear Exploding Barrel guys. Mike, please forgive me for mentioning a music-based game. I know you hate those games,
yes.
But my point is something worth mentioning. What are your thoughts on some of the rumored additions of Guitar Hero 4? The one that has me most excited is the ability to create your very own songs. I would be very excited because it allow me to play songs by bands that will never appear in a Guitar Hero game.
Well, what I like about that is the idea that a bunch of people are going to make like video game themes and stuff like
that. Yeah, I still have dreams of making my Ultimate Metal Gear compilation in there.
Whatever.
Another thing worth mentioning, did you read the GameSpot article about reviewers not finishing games before they write their review? That was the guys from Penny Arcade Truly Love, the example of the Assassin's Creed reviews. I know I was guilty for that in the end. I would overwhelm myself with reviews, and it caused the overall product to suffer. What are your thoughts? It's not a new thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird with games because ideally you want to beat them, but it's almost sort of a hard thing sometimes.
Yeah, with like, I mean, you have to review a 60-hour RPG in a week. How can you do it, And plus, I mean, an RPG, the gameplay isn't going to change significantly. You're usually not allowed to spoil the ending anyway.
Yeah, it's weird. It's hard to say, but then can you really review a game without playing?
Yeah.
It's a weird subject.
And then he just also mentions the Cagney update for Burnout Paradise is very cool. He picked up the game Friday and has been enjoying it ever since. This is a bit ironic. On Burnout 3 Takedown, I would listen to fast music, get me in the mood to drive. I would listen to Treyu, Rammstein, older Metallica, etc. The update, I'm doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing like playing Road Rage while playing Führer Frey by Rammstein.
I don't think you're hip with the German rock.
No. If you ever saw the movie Triple X, you would know the song.
Rammstein
is the band playing the beginning of the movie. Actually, I thought the beginning drew me into the movie. It's only out in the PS3 right now, so we haven't been able to try the update. It comes out next week.
Okay, okay. But, does it cost money?
No, it's free.
Okie dokie.
On a side note, what kind of effing villain has the name Yogi? Really? I was waiting for him to mention a picnic basket or something instead of the Silent Night Poison. Oh, well, that was neither here nor there. Hope you have another great show.
What game has the Yogi villain?
I think it was in Derek's top 10 list of villains.
Oh, right.
I think it was it the Earthbound one. It was a game we never played.
No, I think it was Star Ocean or something. Some RPG I never played. Oh, yes. I think I don't know now. Dang it. Maybe it was Shinuku.
Yeah, read this email from Dominic.
Well, Kyle, he signed it as, so I'll say that. But I said, hello, first off, remember to went back and listen to Ash Guy's favorite game list. The episode was Brawling Brothers. That was an early one. Anyways, I really wanted to say that I missed the best ever. However, I understand how hard it is to come up with them. Here are just some brainstormed ideas. Some of them may suck, but whatever. Best soundtrack ever, which I think we already did.
Yeah, I think we did.
Best fighting game ever. Best game trailer ever.
I think we did that.
Best arcade game ever.
We didn't do that.
Best rhythm game ever. We did do that. Best superhero game ever. Actually, I think we did do that. Best online game. See, it's hard. Because it's just you. I know, we went through so many of these. Best racing game ever. Don't like racing games. Best boss fighter. I think we did that. See, and yeah, I mean, you know, good. You know, they're good suggestions, Kyle. And obviously, I don't blame you if you haven't listened to every episode of our show. But yeah, we went through a lot of those. About the Metal Gear Solid second half of the show, I think it was a great idea. It's a clever way to still talk about the game without giving away spoilers. I also wanted to ask your opinion on something. I think Rock Band...
Would you like me to take over?
No, I think Rock Band is way better than Guitar Hero 3. However, some of my friends who are amazing at the game disagree. The reason they don't like Rock Band as much is because they don't like the way the notes look. Well, if they're used to Guitar Hero, I guess. They say that the fact that they are squares makes it worse. I think this is absolutely ridiculous considering all the better stuff Rock Band offers, such as drums, vocals, and Create a Rocker and World Tour, not to mention much better track list of all the downloadable songs. I just wanted to note, different note style bother you at all? Because maybe it is just me. More thing, if you do the musical podcast, you have to add lyrics to your opening theme song, and as guy, you have to sing too. No, they're silly. The notes thing.
I prefer Rock Band's notes. I think it's easier to see which ones are hammer-ons and pull-offs with shorter squares than like the missing little pixel-thick black line in the discs.
Yeah, that's true.
That's me. Honestly, though, they're both fine.
If we had to add lyrics to our opening song, that'd be a little tricky. It's just a fast, crazy strings.
Exploding. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know what to do there.
No.
All right.
Thank you for your email, Kyle.
Here's our last email.
I'm thinking we might get some ideas. We might try to do the best ever again. Bring it back at least a couple times soon.
Yes. So this is a quick email. This is from AAX6160. He didn't really sign it with anything else. He says, I don't have a question. It's just with everyone else asking, I just wanted to say I think I would also enjoy a musical podcast. I think it would be fun.
Well, look at this. Look at all the support we've suddenly had for the musical podcast.
Okay, you know what? Fine.
Man, I asked about this forever.
The people have spoken.
Oh, crap. Wait a second. This is going to be a lot of work.
Yeah, you got to do it, though.
Well,
It's
not going to be ready anytime soon. Yeah. I can promise you that much. Man, look at, we can get on NeoGAF and Kotaku and Joystick. But think about it.
Okay,
if it's a well-produced musical podcast, if we do the news in every single segment in music.
Like, do we have to get pre-existing music to, like, put in the background?
Just get Garage Band or whatever it's called and get some tracks going.
Have a Mac? We'll steal pairs.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
It's been great. I got some ideas. Don't worry. We'll go over them. So,
okay. Time to wrap it up.
Okay. Well, that was a good show. So thanks for listening, everybody. I hope the rest of your E3 is more exciting.
Yes, we'll talk about it all next week and have a nice wrap-up.
Of course, you can find us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can contact me at tokoto@gmail.com.
And adsguy711@gmail.com.
Again, thank you for listening. You can find us at the iTunes Store also if you want to leave us a review there. We'd appreciate it.
Yes. And also be sure to check out the Squadron of Shame Squadcast now available on the iTunes.
New one. You're in it this week.
Yeah, I was in this week. We talked about Beyond Good and Evil.
Right. So go check that out. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Later.